Well, good morning. It's good to be here with you all. My name is Brad. If you don't know me, I am our pastor of youth and young adult ministries here at WMB, and it's really, really good to be together. We are back at it this morning. We gather here every week to consider what it means to be led by the Spirit, to be filled with the Spirit, to follow Jesus in a deeper way, and I'm pretty pumped that we can do that again this morning. You ready? Yeah? Excellent. Good. All right, I want to start off with a quick story. When I was 10 years old, I went to summer camp for the first time. It was awesome, okay? It was a summer camp experience like you would expect. It was pretty amazing, right? Everything from swimming at the beach, you know, playing in the water, capture the flag, wide games across the entire camp, staying up way too late, eating junk food, and turning your cabin into a wrestling ring with your mattresses. Awesome stuff, right? Everything you would expect for a 10-year-old boy at a summer camp. Pretty amazing. But there was one thing I wasn't expecting that week, and it happened on the last night of camp. Now, if you've been to camp, you're like, dude, there's always something that happens on the last night of camp. But I was 10. I had no idea. It was the first time, right? But on that last night, we're in chapel, and the speaker comes up to do his thing. The worship team comes up on after. We sing a few songs, and something happened in that moment for me. The band said, if you guys want to go, you can go. Everyone's dismissed. But if you want to stay here and continue to worship, you can do that. And all my cabin mates left, probably to go do the wrestling thing again, I think. But something told me in that moment, I should stay. So I did. And I think in that moment, I kept singing. I just kind of began to feel my heart kind of come alive. And there was this sense in my heart that I was loved, that I was precious, that I was cared for, and that I was safe. I was where I was meant to be. It was perfect. And looking back on this now, I realize this is probably the first time I encountered the Holy Spirit. It was the first time I'd met with the Holy Spirit and realized I was worshiping something that was real and tangible and present, wonderful and powerful. This moment was the beginning of my process of giving my life to Jesus in a deeper and deeper way. It was owning my faith for myself. And that memory has not left me. That feeling hasn't left me. In fact, it's something that was so powerful for me in that stage of my life that I have been pursuing God deeper and deeper every day since then. Sometimes I do a great job. Some days I don't. But man, that moment will never leave me. Anyone else have a similar experience? Maybe it was a summer camp moment for you where you encountered the Holy Spirit for the first time. Maybe it was here at church. Maybe it was in a worship moment. Maybe it was at a Leafs game. Yes? No? Maybe? Okay. Well, if you haven't, don't worry. Don't worry. Really. In fact, for me, prior to that summer camp experience, I would say that I didn't really know or care who the Holy Spirit was, what he was doing. I just kind of went to church because my parents went to church. Yeah, sure, I called myself a Christian, I followed Jesus, but it wasn't necessarily something I owned or thought was real before then, right? I just went to church because my parents did. Maybe you've been in a similar situation. Maybe you're in a similar place today. Maybe you've grown up in the church, but you've never had this kind of experience like the one I described at camp. Maybe you've heard about others being prompted by the Holy Spirit or led by the Spirit, and you've never really experienced that. So you're just kind of going like, I don't know, man. Like, is this real? Like, what am I doing wrong? Do you feel maybe like you've been a little bit of a failure as a Christ follower at some point because of that? Maybe you're on the other end of the spectrum. You're like, yo, I know the Holy Spirit real well. I grew up in the Pentecostal church. Okay. Wherever you might be at this morning, I think that this message is for you. The Holy Spirit wants to do something in each and every one of us today. Today's message is for you. We are in the midst of a series called Filled by the Holy Spirit. And we are talking about the Holy Spirit. Who is he? What does he do? And what's with all these gifts that he can give us? And today I want to kind of riff off of Sean's message last week on spiritual gifts. And today I want to talk about what it means to be led by the Spirit. So like perfect song that we just sang. And may I just say right off the bat that being led by the Spirit is not just a feel good kind of amazing spiritual high moment like the one I described at camp. It certainly isn't. It can be that, but it's not just that. It's not a spiritual high. It's not like the energy force kind of thing that, you know, you see in the Prince of Egypt when that like white cloud comes. No, the Holy Spirit is a person. Just as Jesus is a person, God is a person. In the same way, the Holy Spirit is a person that we can come to know on a deep level. And he's going to invite us into something incredible today. So are you ready? I want to pray. Holy Spirit, come. We invite you in. We invite you to take control this morning and to have your way, to be with us, to be present, God. We don't want to go through this life without you. I pray that you would use us in such a way that furthers your kingdom here on this earth. Would you come and in your way, reveal yourself to us, empower us, lead us, God. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So today we're gonna look at something that Jesus said about the Holy Spirit to his disciples. He's promising to send this advocate or the counselor or the Holy Spirit, depending on your translation of the Bible, and then he's gonna go away. And the disciples, they don't know that Jesus is about to go away and go to the cross and die and then come back to life and then go up to heaven. So they're all like a little confused as about why Jesus needs to go away at all. Jesus' words here are so rich and powerful though. Even for us in our moment today, they're relevant. In fact, if I think about our culture right now, we live in a culture that is incredibly self-centered, right? It is me-focused. Consider some of the statements you might hear in popular culture right now. You do you, right? Live your truth, be true to yourself, do what makes you happy. You are enough. Look deep within your heart and make sure that you are living your authentic self, right? Have you heard any of those? Social media, spray-painted on a wall somewhere. Our youth and I, we just did a really cool series called Live Your Truth and Other Lies. It was awesome. We looked at some of those exact statements to kind of analyze them and see where maybe they're actually leading us astray. Shameless plug. It's all on YouTube podcast. Anyways. But I think our culture, we've come to believe that we're good, that we're okay on our own, that we've got this all figured out, that we are the master of our destiny, that we are enough. And yet I look around at the world and I see that we're anxious, we're tired, we're scared, we're frustrated, we are depressed, we're chronically stressed, we're busy beyond what we can imagine, and we're struggling. We're struggling to find our purpose in life. And I look at the news, I see this constant cycle of violence and war, of polarization, of hatred, and then I even look at my own life and I see where I have just routinely gone back to my sin and my selfishness over and over and over again. And I'm just gonna say right now, even just the other night, we had a really rough night with the kids and a rough morning because we were all tired, we were all grumpy, and I let anger take control of me in that moment. I gotta confess that to you this morning. It makes me think, we're not doing so hot on our own, are we? We could use some help. We just finished a book or a series on the book of Romans recently here on Sunday mornings where the Apostle Paul digs into this exact problem. And he says to the Roman church that all of us have sinned. We have all fallen short of the glory of God, have we not? So boy, do we ever need him. Again, perfect song that we sang this morning. Do we ever need God? In fact, what we need is the guidance of someone greater than us. We need the Holy Spirit. So as we talk about being led by the Spirit this morning, we're gonna have to battle some of these statements and some of these things that are tugging at our own hearts, some of these realities. Are you ready? Yeah? Because it's a scary thing. It is. It means that we have to release our control over to someone other than ourselves. It means that we have to give up that thing. And I don't know about you, but I don't know too many people who are just like, yeah, man, I just love not being in control. But what if releasing our grasp and our desire for control to the leadership of the Holy Spirit is exactly what we and our world needs? So are you ready? In fact, can we do something that I make our youth do all the time? Okay, I want you to turn to the person next to you that you came with and that you know. I want you to put your hand on their shoulder and I want you to say, bro, I'm ready, go. Make sure you get the bro in there. Okay, if you're at home, do the same thing. All right, so good. Okay, if you got your Bibles, I want you to turn to John chapter 16. We're gonna look at verses 7 to 15 this morning. And I love our Gospels because they are an eyewitness account of the story and the life of Jesus, right? And in this chapter of John, as I said, Jesus is preparing his disciples for when he has to go away. And Jesus has been on mission, right? He has come to reach and to save the lost. He knows that his time on earth is coming to an end, that he's about to go to the cross. He's gonna return to his Father in heaven. And he knows that his disciples are gonna kind of freak out a little bit. But this is the part of the same conversation that Jesus had with his disciples in John 14, which is what we looked at a few weeks ago in the first message of this series. So I want to read the whole passage up front, and then we'll kind of unpack it line by line. So it starts like this. Jesus says, "Very truly, I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove to the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I'm going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned." Let's keep going. Next slide. "I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, that is the Holy Spirit, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you." Okay. There's a lot of stuff in there. So let's go back through one chunk at a time and pull out some things this morning. And to help you remember, keep this on your heart, I have boiled this down to one thing for you today that you can remember, okay? This is our bottom line. This is our one big point. This is the idea I want y'all to know and remember. So when I come back next week, I'm gonna be like, hey, what was our thing? And you're gonna know, okay? Are you ready for it? This is our big thing this morning. FOMO. Yes? FOMO. If you're over 60, that means the fear of missing out, okay? That's an acronym. It stands for the fear of missing out. And let me explain. FOMO is this kind of force that drives us to do some funny things, right? It drives our youth to, you know, do hilarious stuff and fear that they're going to miss out on something memorable. And they don't want to feel left out. FOMO is a powerful agent. But let's be honest, all of us experience FOMO at some point in our lives or another, right? We all have it from time to time, and we want to experience the best things, the fun. We want to get in on the action and feel like we're part of something. It reminds me of that scene in The Office. You ever watch The Office where Michael Scott, he's just like, oh, I love inside jokes. Would love to be a part of one someday. Kills me. So good. So FOMO. What on earth does FOMO have to do with this passage? Well, let's get into it. I want to go back to the beginning. So let's go right to the beginning where Jesus says, "Very truly, I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away." Did you catch that? It's for your good that he goes. It's what's best for us in a way. Why? Keep reading. "Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, then I will send him to you." Jesus is saying it's for your advantage that he goes. Because if he goes, something else is gonna come in his place. And I'm sure the disciples must have been thinking like, dude, you've been with us for like the last 3.5 years. We kind of want you here. But Jesus is saying this is gonna be even better. I'm sure that was hard for them to grasp. But like, what are you talking about, Jesus? Like, no, we kind of want you here with us. As someone we can see and talk to and eat with and hang out with and tell us all of these confusing stories. We actually prefer you being with us. How could it be better for you to leave us and then to send something in that we can't actually physically see, right? Now, to be honest, I think a lot of us probably treat the Holy Spirit in a similar way, don't we? If we had the choice between like physical buddy Jesus standing right next to us or the Holy Spirit, I think a lot of us would probably say, yeah, I want to have Jesus right there by my side, like my buddy Jesus, right? Wouldn't we? Physical Jesus right there. And yet Jesus is saying that him leaving and sending of the Spirit, no, it's actually going to be better for us. In fact, I would say it's something we're not going to want to miss out on. Ah, that's where the FOMO thing kicks in. Okay, here we go. I can't help but think of what Jesus says in one of his teachings earlier in the book of John. It's one of my favorite ones to remind our youth of, to remind myself of. But it comes from John chapter 10, where Jesus says that the thief, his purpose is to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I love the Message translation that says that they may have more and better life than they ever dreamed of. So Jesus is saying that part of having life to the fullest is to live as he does. And if he's saying the Spirit is coming, that he's gonna go, the Spirit's coming to lead us in this life, that's what's good for us. Therefore, being led by the Spirit is living life to the fullest. This is what I don't want you to miss out on, church. It is living life to the fullest. So how do we experience that life to the fullest? By letting the Spirit lead. Let's keep reading. At verse 8, Jesus says, when he comes, the Holy Spirit, he will prove to the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. Notice at verse 8, he says, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. Who's going to convict the world? The Holy Spirit, not us. The Holy Spirit will convict the world of its sin and of what God's righteousness is. Not us. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. But how does he do that? I gotta say, he starts with us. He starts with doing it in our own hearts. He starts by convicting you. And this is exactly what Sean and Jeff, talked about a couple weeks ago in that series on Romans 1 and 2, in those challenging and yet incredible messages, where it talked about, yes, the reality and the gravity of sin that we all need to avoid at all costs, but also on not judging or condemning others, right? Because we're all in the exact same boat. We've been ruined and tainted by the evil of sin, and we are off course from God's wonderful original design for us. But this is what the Holy Spirit's job is to convict you and me of our sin so that we can come back to God. It's the Holy Spirit's job to point us to righteousness and to open our eyes about the truth of God. Why? Well, so that we can be transformed to become more like Jesus. And isn't that good news? That no matter who you are, where you've been, what you've done, that you are loved, that you are welcome, that you are invited to accept the free gift of God's grace, that he will forgive you, that he loves you. But we've got to allow the Holy Spirit to let us believe that, don't we? We have to say yes to him. So how are you doing with that? And that's a big question. You don't need to answer it out loud. I don't need to be a weird confession moment, but how are you doing with sin right now? Have you just learned to kind of live with it, to cover it up, to just kind of push it to the side and just keep it there? Have you learned to ignore the promptings of the Holy Spirit even? Because I've been there before. I would say I'm an expert in ignoring the Spirit's conviction. But this is why we need the leading and the filling of the Holy Spirit, because when we allow this Spirit to convict us of sin and convince us of God's love for us, then we are led into transformation. And that leads us to the next thing, which is so cool. It allows us to change our ways, to leave sin behind. And when we do this, this is one of those examples of life to the fullest, and we invite others along with us. I can't help but think of the early church here, right? When we look at the early church, we look at the similarities and the differences to the culture around it. It wasn't the similarities that made it so compelling to people. It was its staunch difference that made it irresistible, right? Think of this in this culture, this ancient Roman culture where women and children were castaways, the church welcomed them in with open arms. In a culture where violence and war were commonplace, the church chose the way of peace and of enemy love. In a culture where men and Caesar dominated, the church said, Jesus is Lord, and called everybody to submit their lives to the authority of Jesus Christ. Amen? In our world that is deeply hurting and anxious and broken and depressed and self-centered, demonstrating our release of control to the Holy Spirit, that takes it off of us. It takes the focus away from us and onto God, who deserves it. Releasing control to another, that is paramount. To say no to sin, to say, yeah, I don't want this to be part of my life, God. You have said this is wrong, and it is. It's yours. I want it gone in my life. Giving up our control to God, this is what gives us life to the fullest. So the big idea here, the thing you can kind of, I can sum this up is that there is transformation and goodness when our lives are led by the Spirit and not by us, when we give away that control. My friends, the FOMO piece here is don't miss out on the Spirit's conviction of your sin and the ability he has to change your life. Do you believe that Jesus can change your life? That the Spirit can convict you to the point where you are no longer living in sin? That you can actually be transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit? To leave that behind and let the Spirit prompt you and equip you for life change. Don't miss it. So how else is the leading of the Spirit gonna bring us life to the fullest? Let's keep reading from our passage. At verse 13, Jesus says, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He won't be speaking on his own, he will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you." Now, personally, this is where I think things get really, really exciting, all right? You're not gonna wanna miss out on this part. Look at verse 13 again. He says, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He won't be speaking on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come." Now, first off, this isn't saying that we're all gonna become some like fortune teller predicting the future in a sketchy booth at the farmer's market. That's not what he's talking about, okay? What he's talking about is actually all about the mission of God. This has to do with the primary desire and hope and purpose of God's big plan that we see enacted throughout the entirety of Scripture. It's so cool. That God wants to bring all people into his kingdom, to bring everyone to the foot of the throne of God. It's awesome that every knee in heaven and on earth may bow at his feet. This is an invitation to join God in his great mission, to be with him, to partner with him. The Apostle Paul talks about exactly this in his letter to the Ephesian church. Look what he says. He says, "With all wisdom and understanding, God made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment." And here it is, "to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ." And think of that verse 13 where it says, "The Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth." Boy, are we ever aching for truth in our world right now, aren't we? In a culture of deep fakes and AI messaging now, where you can basically back up any argument you wanna make, it's all out there. We're kind of lost. We're kind of in this world where truth has become fluid, and it's, oh boy, how do we navigate that, right? But the Spirit can lead us into truth. And I think of Jesus' words in John 14, 6, where Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And so as we are guided into truth, we're guided into all things that Jesus is and is for, that Jesus came to give us life to the fullest as he leads us into becoming more like him. And he demonstrated this by dying in our place on the cross. Why? To fulfill the mission of God. To bring a bunch of broken, undeserving sinners like you and me into real eternal life through his love. When he says in verse 14 that it is from Jesus what the Spirit will make known to us, that thing from Jesus is the very purpose of God's presence here on this earth in you and me. I hope you can see I get excited about this, and I hope you get excited about this too. So to explain this in a simpler way, let's go to the next slide. Being led by the Spirit is an invitation. It's an invitation to partner with God in his mission to bring everybody to the foot of the throne of God. And that's what the Spirit equips us for. That's what leading into truth and into righteousness, to know why the judgment of the enemy has come, it is to bring the world to Jesus. That's what the Spirit equips us for. That's why you have spiritual gifts. That's why Jesus needs to send the Holy Spirit. It is something you do not want to miss out on, church. So, what? Let's talk about practicality of this. What does this mean for us then? What difference does it make in our lives right now, today? Because if we believe that A, the Spirit convicts us of our sin and leads us to life change, and that B, he's inviting us to participate in his mission to bring the whole world to Jesus, then it means that you have a purpose, my friends. It means you've got a purpose in this life. Have you ever thought about that? That you're not here by accident. That your life actually has meaning. No matter what stage of life you are in, even if you are there on your deathbed, you have value to Jesus and you have a purpose in this world because you can always be led by the Spirit. Let me tell you how. One of these things I kind of like to say to our youth and just in general is just that being a Christian is not about getting into heaven. It's about getting heaven into you. Andy Stanley probably said that first. I can't be sure. Did Andy Stanley say that? Probably. It sounds like something he would say. But basically, it's not just about getting into heaven one day. No, it's about being heaven here on earth now. So how do we do that? Two things. First off, you got to know the Spirit. You got to know him. You got to be in relationship with the Spirit. And this happens through prayer, through quiet time before God, through your worship, through silence and solitude, through the disciplines, right? The things that like should be kind of a no-brainer if you follow Jesus. Yeah, like those are the things I do to know the Spirit. You got to pick up that dusty old Bible off your shelf and you got to read it. You got to follow it. Just like we get to know someone by spending time with them, asking questions, being in conversation, it's the same with knowing the Spirit. You spend time together, quality time. And this is something we get to do in community, together, right? We get to meditate on his word, read it, know it, live it, repeat, and then share it with those around you and encourage one another to be able to do that together, right? And when we begin to know the Spirit's desires as we slowly over time get deeper and deeper into relationship with him, we start to notice the thought patterns that maybe come to mind. Those little voices, those little promptings from the Spirit to do something, right? We begin to have regular conversations with the Spirit throughout the day in our prayers, constantly asking the Spirit to lead us, to equip us, to say, hey, God, reveal to me what you want me to do today. How do you want me to join you in your mission today? What sin do I have that I don't even know about that you want me to deal with? What changes do I need to make in my life, Spirit? Who should I pray for? Who should I invite over to dinner? Who do I need to get a conversation going about faith with? Who do I need to love? Which all leads us to the next thing. So first off, we need to know the Spirit. Second thing is that we need to obey the Spirit. And this part is really fun, okay? This is where the rubber meets the road. This is scary and it can take some courage. Do you ever see that movie, We Bought a Zoo? It was an old movie with Matt Damon. It was kind of cheesy, but it felt good. And in this movie, they talk about having 30 seconds of insane courage. And I love that idea for this in particular. This is the action that you don't want to miss out on. Here's the FOMO, no FOMO, okay? It's to help explain, let me give you a little story, okay? My office window at the back faces our rear church parking lot, and the parking lot is a bit of a highway for people coming and going all the time. And over the years of just sitting back there by my office window, I've kind of gotten into this habit of praying for people who walk by my office window. And one time, I saw this sweet, beautiful little family with two young kids and a dog walking by my window, and I just felt the Spirit's prompting to pray for them. Okay, Lord, I'll keep praying. And I noticed they would come and go almost twice a day sometimes. And I realized, oh, they're probably taking their kid to school. Awesome. And so I would continue to pray. And sometimes I would see them every single day of the week. And every time I went, Lord, yep, I know you want me to pray for them. And my prayers would often just be, Lord, would you be with that family wherever they might be? I pray that they would be okay, that you would guide them, that they would know your love, and then you'd be with them. Nothing huge, nothing major, but it was just prayer. It was just obedience to the Spirit in that moment. Cool thing is that my son Bo, he started JK last fall. And who should be in his class? But that little boy and his family, one of those kids is in Bo's class. And I was just like, what? No way. Okay, God, this is cool. You've been asking me to pray for them for how long now? And here we are. All right, let me know what you want to do. Do you need me to go and say hi, to start up an awkward conversation? Like, do you need me to go like, hey, have you found Jesus? No, like, just what is it? I'm just going, I'm open. And he said, no, I just want you to keep praying. I said, okay, I'll just keep praying. No invite to church, no weird conversation, just prayer. Christmas Eve last year, 2022, after I've been praying for over a year for this family, who do I see in our foyer? That mom and that kid who's in Bo's class. I'm just like, what? Lord, no way. how cool is that? And so at that point, I was like, okay, I gotta go and say hi and introduce myself. So I do. We start a bit of a relationship, and man, I have had such a good time just building that relationship as we got to know each other while walking to school. And God just said, keep praying. No invitation, just keep praying. And I've asked them permission to share the story, but they've been here at our church every Sunday since Christmas. Isn't that cool? Right? Like, come on, God, you are so good. Yes, absolutely. Because here's the point. When we obey the Spirit's lead, we get to participate in something he's already doing. You get to join in. I could share countless stories of those moments of like, yeah, God, I'm just gonna say yes to you, whether it's talking to someone on a bus in Montreal on a missions trip. Oh, yeah, I could share a few stories. Every single time, if I had said no, if I'd ignored the Spirit, I'm the one who's missing out. There's the FOMO again, right? I'd be the one missing out on the excitement and this life to the fullest that Jesus promises us. And yes, it could take you some courage, some bravery. He might ask you to do more than just pray. It might be an awkward conversation or something. Sometimes it's incredibly specific. But every time, it's worth it because you get to partner with God in what he's doing. So how are you doing with that? How are you doing with that obedience piece? That getting to know the Spirit piece. Because I don't know about you, I just have to think about the implications of ignoring the Spirit's voice too. What would that do to our church if we're just not listening to the Spirit? If we're just kind of ignoring him and sticking to the status quo and the same old, like, yeah, sure, we're gonna come here on a Sunday morning, have a great time worshiping, and maybe learn some things, but what does that do? The point is that when we obey the Spirit's lead, we get to participate in something he is already doing. That is life to the fullest, my friends. It is anything but boring. And if you're freaked out by it, which is totally valid, look at what the apostle, or no, look what Jesus said to his disciples as he sends the Holy Spirit to them. He says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And all of his disciples except one went and went to their death proclaiming that Jesus is Lord. But that's not something you can do on your own. That is something only the Spirit can do in us. So let me ask you, do you know the Spirit? Are you obeying him? Has he been prompting you about the sin in your life you gotta confess to someone, to pray over someone you know, to invite them into a relationship with Jesus? Are you in prayer throughout the day, inviting God to use you in his mission to bring all people under his authority and rule? What gifts do you have that you might be holding back because we've been ignoring the promptings of the Spirit? Maybe you've got spiritual gifts that you are even yet to discover because you've never taken that chance. Take it. Take it. Are you giving up your life to allow the Spirit to take control? Because when you do, you get to experience the work of God in you. Life to the fullest, my friends. So to recap and to just finish off this morning, being led by the Spirit is for our good. It's for us. It is living life to the fullest. And being led by the Spirit convicts us and the world of sin, and it invites us to participate in God's mission to bring everyone to his throne. It's not something you're gonna wanna miss out on. So remember, FOMO. All right, and if you need some extra help in remembering that, here's a really dumb and cheesy line that I came up with to help you remember this. Say no to Holy Spirit FOMO, okay? I actually literally rolled my eyes when I typed that earlier this week. But once again, turn to the person next to you that you know, put your hand on their shoulder, say, bro, say no to Holy Spirit FOMO. Go. Oh, my wife's shaking her head. Anyways, let me end off with a little analogy. We as Jesus followers, we need the leading and the filling of the Spirit, kind of like a car needs both a gas pedal and a steering wheel. A Christian without the leading of the Spirit is like a car without a steering wheel. You might be able to go, and you could even go fast, but potentially in a dangerous direction, right? I once had a friend who got their gas pedal stuck down while driving on a country road. Also dangerous, right? I hope we would have that fear within us to surrender our lives to the Spirit's direction. Jesus, take the wheel? Anyway, no. We cannot do it alone. A Christian without the filling of the Spirit is also like a car without a gas pedal. You might know where you need to go, but you can't get there on your own. You can't get there on your own strength. We need the Spirit to empower us to go wherever He wants us to go, on His strength, not on ours. And that's cool because it releases the pressure, right? It's not up to you. He's going to do what He wants to do. But join Him. Allow Him to fill you up. We are the vessel. He is the fuel. We need the leading of the Holy Spirit because it is the Holy Spirit that empowers us and leads us into the truth of Jesus. Amen. Can you imagine? Can you imagine if we all did that together? Can you imagine what this church and our sister churches would look like if we truly lived this way? That we would be the church together. Can you imagine the people around us coming to know the love of God, to be transformed by the Spirit, being set free from our sin and our brokenness and our ugliness to the point where our city around us starts to look different? Can you imagine? Schools without bullying or violence. Can you imagine a university campus without sexual assault? Can you imagine our city where people do not need to live in tents on the on-ramp circle off the highway, where poverty has been wiped out? Can you imagine a city where new arrivals to our country are welcomed right into the homes of our locals and made to feel like equals? So I can. And Jesus called it the kingdom of God. And the Spirit is what equips you and me to join God in bringing it right here to our city, to this earth, right now. So my friends, what are you waiting for? Don't miss out. You're gonna wanna be a part of this. Spirit, would you come and lead us where our trust in you doesn't have barriers, where we cannot do this on our own, and yet you are the one who holds us up, God. Amen? Let's pray. In fact, would you open up your hands if you feel comfortable to just say, God, I'm open. Hold your hands out and say, Spirit, come, fill me up. And just that posture of receiving what God has for you. Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, Heavenly Father, we ask you to come and fill us. By your love and your goodness, God, would you transform us? Spirit, would you convict us of the sin we may have in our lives, whether it is addiction or gossip, lying, cheating, arrogance, entitlement, whatever it is, Lord, would you help us to see that? And Lord, we're inviting you in right now, maybe with some fear and trepidation, but we know that you're gonna give us power. Power to join you. That you're going to equip us in what's to come. That we get to partner with you in your mission to bring all people to the foot of the cross. And Lord, isn't that a good thing? That the world may know the love you have, the unconditional, incredible, never-ending love of God. It's that love that's going to change the world, God. And we get to partner with you in that? How good. So Spirit, would you lead where our trust has no more barriers or borders, that you would equip us so we would be stronger, always in your presence, God. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.